Are they headed to war? I'm Ben Swan with your Truth in Media Moment, brought to you in part by BenSwan.com. Now, this piece is in response to a question I received on Facebook from Michelle, who asked this, quote, "Myself and some friends would like to know if the rumor of 57 Iranian warships off the East Coast is true or not. Also, if Obama gave the go-ahead for them to attack when the dollar fails," end quote. Well, it is true that Iranian ships are headed this way. Not 57. But according to Admiral Afshin Haddad, the vessels have already entered the Atlantic Ocean via waters near South Africa. Haddad says that the fleet is approaching U.S. maritime borders for the very first time. It's only about 14 miles from the East Coast. So why would Iran do this? I'll explain right after this. The destruction of constitutional liberties and endless foreign wars. The voice of the people silenced while lawmakers simply enrich themselves and the political class. I'm Ben Swan. It isn't about left versus right. No, the real fight is liberty versus tyranny. At BenSwan.com, we are breaking the left-right paradigm. We know that the American two-party system is broken and that to restore American liberty means to restore your rights as an individual. At BenSwan.com, we cover stories the national media won't touch, from the National Defense Authorization Act to nullification, militarization of police, and crony capitalism. We are not afraid to stand up for the rights of the people. We are the face of new media. BenSwan.com, where humanity is greater than politics. So what is true about these Iranian warships headed to the East Coast? Well, first of all, it doesn't appear to be 57, but actually two vessels. One is a smaller frigate, which will carry about 30 naval cadets. The other is a supply ship. But they will remain on this mission for about 3 months. Now, what is interesting about this story are the internet stories of how the Iranians are coming to war, how they're coming to the East Coast, how 57 ships are headed this way. How could we allow them so close to U.S. waters? And yet, when you consider the reason for Iran sending their ships this way, Iran is protesting the U.S. Navy deploying ships into the Persian Gulf, which we've been doing for some time. The U.S. Navy's Fifth Fleet is based in Bahrain, just across the Persian Gulf from Iran. And the U.S. conducts regular exercises in the Persian Gulf, just in case. Exercises that we in the U.S. would be enraged by if the Iranians were doing them in waters so close to us. Now keep in mind, one of these ships the Iranians are sending over was almost destroyed by a U.S. fighter jet in 1988. Some media reports have referred to these ships as being nothing more than rust buckets, hardly a threat to the United States. As for the claim that the Obama administration wants to attack these ships if the dollar fails, well, that is based much more in fantasy than anything else. For stories that affect your liberty, you can find me online at BenSwan.com, where humanity is greater than politics.
Obamacare stories are worse every day. Medical treatment in Thailand can offer Americans some genuine options at fractional prices of U.S. treatment. Nursing homes, elder care, fractions of U.S. prices, and such superior options. The money you save could easily purchase a condo or two. Go to AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com, a down and dirty guide on doing it once, doing it right, and on the cheap. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
How important is the air you breathe? Our air purifiers produce activated oxygen, called Aerin. Activated oxygen is the natural enemy of odors, pollutants, and many other harmful substances, yet it's completely safe. Our powerful air purifiers unleash the power of a thunderstorm, destroying pollutants in the air we breathe. It destroys many viruses, bacteria, and fungi, kills molds, and oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases. It removes smoke, pollen, and pet odors. Made with quality stainless steel, our portable air purifiers come with a manufacturer's 4-year warranty. If you haven't experienced the Aerin process of fresh, clean air, then call us today and receive 10% off your order. 877-605-9200. Again, that's 877-605-9200. Time for you to breathe clearly again. 877-605-9200.
This is Dr. Robert Rowan here to give you an important message regarding stem cell treatment. World-renowned physician, stem cell expert, and friend Dr. David Steinblatt has performed over 8,000 stem cell treatments since 2001. Bone marrow stem cells are completely legal to do here in the USA. The bone marrow stem cell treatment is not only fast, done in less than 2 to 3 hours, but is relatively pain-free and has little to no recovery time. Dr. David Steinblatt and his office are able to help and treat patients who suffer from cerebral palsy, traumatic brain injury, stroke, macular degeneration, arthritis, Parkinson's disease, congestive heart failure, and more. Personally using their services for my knee and seeing great improvement, Dr. David Steinblatt is highly recommended by me. Go to stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 to find out more. Again, stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 today to receive more information.
Second and third. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. It's Thursday, February 27th, 2014. We got a lot of stuff to talk about today. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. Sam is sitting in our control room, twiddling the dials and keeping us out of trouble. And before we get into the news here, a couple of announcements. First of all, the Republic Broadcasting website is back up online and working correctly. As you may have heard yesterday, it was hacked into and defaced. Somebody broke in there and said, "Hi, I succeeded in hacking your website." We were having all kinds of problems yesterday with the phone lines being jammed with War Games dialers. I understand that today Skype seems to be having issues with some of our radio shows, and we actually had difficulty connecting as well. So if there's a brief dropout, it does appear that there are some people out there who don't like us and don't like what we're saying, and they're doing what they can do to try and keep us silent. So far, it is not working. A little bit of a news coming out here. Attorney General Eric Holder has had a trip to the hospital. I can certainly identify with that. Apparently, during his morning meeting with staffers, he's started suffering chest pains, faintness, shortness of breath. So they've got him in the hospital, and the only word we're getting is he's resting comfortably. But I imagine all the stress that he's under right now. I mean, you know, could you subvert the United States of America's justice system and not have some stress-related illnesses come out of it? I don't know here. Now, obviously, the big news continues to be the Ukraine. We're going to talk about that for a little bit here. Apparently, Russia has put some of their fighter jets on their western borders, are now on combat alert, which basically means 5 minutes from order to launch to launch. Everything's plugged in, the tanks are plugged in, the pilots are sitting in the ready room, and they're basically good to go on very short notice if they need it. Now, Ukraine's deposed president, Yanukovych, has finally surfaced. It appears he is in Moscow, protected by the Russians. I don't know, maybe he and Ed Snowden are playing chess or something out there. But he's out there saying that from his point of view, he is still the president of the Ukraine, and his government is the legal government, and the new coup d'etat government is illegal, which is a position the Russians are in agreement with. And so the issue from the point of view of the Russians is whether this coup d'etat installed government is legitimate, and international law is favoring Yanukovych and the Russian position in that the current regime in Kiev is unelected, has simply grabbed power through violence, and is attempting to basically take control of the entire country. And certainly over in the east and south of the Ukraine, the Ukrainian people do not support that new government, and they're talking about breaking away already. Now, obviously, everybody's very, very concerned about the potential for this to escalate into a military conflict. And over at the Pravda, they had a headline story, "Will Russia go to war to win Ukraine's Crimea?" That's not really the question here. The question is whether Russia will go to war to keep the U.S. and NATO from chipping off more and more of Russia's allies and trading partners, which is really what's going on here. So, yeah, at some point, this is going to force Russia into a military confrontation. Can you imagine if somebody came over and grabbed like Florida and then maybe Georgia and some and the Carolinas? Sooner or later, the U.S. is going to definitely respond to that. Now, NATO has responded to Russia's announced military drill, which is includes 150,000 troops. That's a major, major military exercise. Obviously, it puts Russia just one step away from a war footing. And NATO has come back and said you shouldn't be doing that. And they're talking now about the inviolability of the Ukraine frontiers. In other words, they're specifically talking about the eastern Ukraine and southern Ukraine, Crimea, because from the point of view of the European Union and the European Central Bank, if they just get western Ukraine, the deal is absolutely rotten for them because they're going to get the part of the Ukraine that is bankrupt, it's in need of financial help, and the parts of the Ukraine able to generate real wealth, the industrial and agricultural sectors, are all over in the eastern and southern part of the country, which are showing absolutely no interest in signing on to this new government in Kiev. So this deal, from the point of view of Europe, only works if they get all the Ukraine, not just this one chunk that they've managed to riot into their control here. Now, oddly enough, just a little earlier today, the NATO commander, their top military commander, is out there trying to play down this issue with tension with Russia and saying right now that NATO doesn't really have any plans to respond to Russian intervention in Crimea, which is nonsense. Of course they do. That's what these military organizations do. When they're not actually fighting a war, they're making plans here. But he's out there at least giving some verbal acknowledgement to the possibility of a peaceful resolution to the crisis over there. Now, down in the Crimea, where the pro-Russian factions are very, very much in control, the corporate media spin is, they're violence, how dare they get out there and protest the fact that they don't like the government. Well, isn't that what the whole justification for the removal of Yanukovych was all about? Oh, it's okay for them to protest because even though his government was elected in a popular election, they're corrupt and they're incompetent, and therefore it's okay to kick him out, which is a rationalization that could also apply to Washington, D.C. So they're already in this situation of having to say it's okay for the people in Kiev to kick out the government because they're unhappy. But down there saying the Crimeans don't have that same right. Now, the Crimean parliament, which has just dismissed the regional federal government, national government, the ones that are working for Kiev, has just voted through a referendum on independence. The vote will take place on May 25th. And so they're moving to say Crimea will become an independent country. And Russia, of course, will support that. Looking at Crimea on a map, it is certainly defensible in terms of a potential ground invasion from Kiev. And with the Kiev government already bankrupt and the Ukrainian currency virtually in free fall, there's already been a run on the banks there, the Ukraine doesn't really have the resources to go in and reconquer Crimea, unless, of course, they're supported by NATO and the rest of the West in the United States, which, of course, would open the door to a Russian response from the other direction. So we're really on the brink of full-on war over the Ukraine and Crimea. But it looks like, basically 61 out of 64 members of the Crimean parliament voted for a referendum on independence. So that's what's going to keep going there. Let's see. I know we got a caller on the line, but I'm going to wait till after the commercial break here. Press TV is reporting that Russia is being urged by the West to keep all their naval forces in their bases, in harbor, tied up to the dock. Don't start sending ships out there into the Black Sea. So there's all these warnings going back and forth about what Russia should do with their assets in their territories. And again, from the Russian point of view, this is very arrogant of the United States all the way over on the other side of the planet to be demanding what the Russians do with their military forces in their own water. As Ben Swan was pointing out at the top of the hour, the issue is the U.S. sends their warships pretty much anywhere they want to go and then acts upset when somebody else has a warship, you know, going into the South Atlantic, or in this case, into the Black Sea. So there's a lot of verbiage going on there. Now, the Ukraine currency is called hryvnia, and it is definitely in major decline. Ratings agencies have already begun to downgrade the new government of Ukraine's credit rating. And along with the fact that the Ukrainian budget seems to have been emptied somewhere, they're in serious financial trouble. John Kerry is going to send them $1 billion. You know, too bad Detroit, but Ukraine will get the money. We'll be right back.
For thousands of years, silver has been used as both a medicine and a preservative. But not all silver is equal. Supernatural Silver is an amazing new technology that has been clinically shown to be several hundred times more effective than colloidal or ionic silver. Supernatural Silver resonates at the same frequency as germicidal light used in labs to kill bacteria and viruses. Supernatural Silver is a broad-spectrum microbial that creates no resistance and does not harm beneficial bacteria, making it ideal for daily use. It can be used internally as well as topically and is highly effective against bacterias, viruses, molds, and yeast. Supernatural Silver liquid and gel are perfect for on-the-go or emergency preparedness and can provide protection at home, school, or work. Go to supernaturalsilver.com and remember the promo code SILVER2014 for 20% off. That's supernaturalsilver.com. Supernaturalsilver.com. Give yourself and your loved ones a fighting chance.
Do you love America? Do you support the right to bear arms? Do you have an opinion on the current immigration issue? Do you believe in the dollar? You have a voice. You have an opinion. Let it be heard. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com right now and make your voice count. Do you like your rights taken away for the so-called sake of public safety? Do you want to repeal Obamacare? Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today and fight back. All you have to do is fill out a short survey and you're done. Simple, easy, fast. For your time, you get entered to win free gold and silver. That's right. Get gold and silver free by filling out this short survey that enters you to win. AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today. That's AmericanFreedomSurvey.com.
I'm Larry Pratt of Gun Owners of America, and I want to invite you to join the Second Amendment movement with Gun Owners of America, the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. Take action by becoming a GOA member today by going to gunowners.org. Gun Owners members receive the GOA newsletter, fact sheets, alerts, certificates, and more. But there's more to joining GOA than just a list of member benefits. The united voice of GOA members has been successful in defeating restrictive legislation designed to disarm our population. GOA has helped get strong constitutional members of Congress like Senator Ted Cruz elected. And with your help, GOA will continue to successfully defend the rights of gun owners in the courts. Participate in our efforts to restore and preserve the nation's right to keep and bear arms. All contributions to our lobbying efforts are used exclusively to support or oppose firearms legislation. Join online at gunowners.org.
When all this twist of steel was swept away, did these remaining what's really happened? What's really
and aloha,
happened?
America. Welcome back to the show here. And we're going to go to the phones here. John in Barbados. John, welcome back to the show. What's on your mind today?
Hello, Michael. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay, all things considered. I mean, sitting here out here in Hawaii on the verge of a new world war with Russia and China.
Well, I've got some news. You know the government of Ukraine is bankrupt. They've got no money.
Yes.
Well, all the government workers have now stopped work. They're not going into work because they haven't been paid for 2 weeks.
Boy, oh boy. You know, the peaceful resolution to this would be for this new coup d'etat government to simply collapse. And, you know, Yanukovych simply flies back into Kiev and says, all right, well, that's a, remember when they had that 2 week coup d'etat against Hugo Chavez in Venezuela? And he was gone for about 2 weeks. They were trying to hunt him down and kill him. And then the new installed puppet government simply collapsed. And Hugo came back and said, all right, that's over. Let's go back to work.
Yeah, well, there's, you know, Lukoil has cut off the oil into Ukraine.
Yes,
rumors are that Gazprom will be shortly cutting off the gas, which means that Germany will suffer a 35% cut in its energy supplies.
Russia has to handle this very, very carefully, because that kind of an action would be construed as strategic threat. Now the oil company cut off the raw petroleum to Ukraine's refinery at Odessa because they haven't been paid for the oil in quite a few months. So they have a legitimate reason to shut that valve under international law. As far as the natural gas is concerned, Russia can turn off the gas to the Ukraine without actually affecting what's going to Europe because there's different pipelines involved here. And they may do it. Now, the new government of the Ukraine said they were voluntarily cutting back on using Russian natural gas by about 80%. Which is not going to help the Ukraine economy either with that loss of energy resources. But I don't see Russia as shutting the valve to Europe because that would definitely ratchet up the situation. And I think Putin is still trying to find a way to sort of maneuver this. And it looks to me like his goal is to find a way to collapse that new unity government in Kiev, to declare it illegitimate, have it collapse, and then let things go back to status quo ante.
Well, I don't altogether agree because the EU has already slapped sanctions, which breaks any treaties as far as I'm concerned. That's an act of war, slapping sanctions on people. So Putin has every right to retaliate.
Well, he may have the right, but it's a reckless move, and Putin doesn't strike me as being particularly reckless. Like McCain is reckless, Obama is reckless, all of the neocons are reckless. Putin is thinking this through very carefully before he moves.
Well, there was a piece of news on RT today.
Mm-hmm.
The Russian defense minister has said they are dispatching their naval assets to the wider world, Venezuela, Cuba, Vietnam, Cyprus. In other words, they're dispersing all their naval assets right around the planet, just like America does.
Yeah, they are, and that's a good way to prevent them all from being hit in a surprise attack. It does look to me like under the guise of training operations and drills that Putin is putting Russia on a war footing to be prepared if this thing does spiral out of control. It's all going to come down to who makes the first overt move, and obviously in the modern global electronic village, whoever starts the violence is going to be seen in a negative light. So, there's nothing new with this. Roosevelt made it very clear that he wanted Japan to be seen to make the first overt act. So they were doing this covert prodding of Japan, which led to the attack on Pearl Harbor. And the same thing's going to be true today. The U.S. wants Russia to be seen as the bad guy by making the first overt move, whether it's a real move by the Russians or a false flag. And obviously, Russia, is being prepared to respond to an overt act by NATO or the United States. But I don't see Putin as going out there and doing anything intentionally provocative at this point.
I don't either, but I have one more point to make, Michael.
Okay.
On my statement yesterday about nuclear power plants being nuclear bombs, the actual containment vessel is only 4 inches thick of steel, which is slightly less than the effective armor on an Abrams tank. And unfortunately, these armor-penetrating shells will go straight through that vessel like it was a hot knife through butter.
I have to question your numbers on the containment vessel on a nuclear reactor. I'm not talking about the pressure vessel around the core of the reactor. I'm talking about that reinforced concrete shell over the whole thing, because that's a couple of feet thick, and the U.S. actually carried out tests crashing airplanes into walls that were built to the same standards, and the airplane just powdered. There's a video out on YouTube of an F-4 slamming into this simulated reactor containment wall, and the plane just comes apart.
I think you'll find the 15-foot-thick steel-reinforced concrete walls of the Pentagon didn't survive too well with an airplane crashing into it.
Well, actually, the Pentagon, that section was recently reinforced, but the Pentagon is actually mostly wood, to be very honest. That's how they built it so quickly. Anyway, obviously, we're going to disagree on that issue. If we go to war with Russia, they're not going to go after our nuclear reactors. They're going to go after our military bases as the first strike targets, which unfortunately includes this little collection of ships and stuff out here, my left window, which is why we're very nervous about this. John, got to let you go here. We're going to grab James in Washington. James, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike, I don't watch a lot of TV, but usually between 5 and 6 o'clock on weeknights, I turn into MSNBC, Fox, and CNN just to find the government line. And I got a suggestion for CNN. Maybe we should change it to GNN, because it's pretty much the gay news network last night for about 25 minutes. They did finally change it to a story about Washington State and a cluster of birth defects. And unbelievably, right at that moment, President Pinocchio landed, and he took the stage in St. Paul to talk about a few things. It was so painful to watch him, Mike. It was an 8-minute speech. He still had to read the teleprompter. I'm not going to lie and said his nose was growing so big he couldn't read it. But it was started with the $15 an hour health care thing. And you know what, Mike? We all know that $15 is so that they can turn around and take and put it back into that health care system. What do you think about that?
Well, there's no question they're just shuffling the money around trying to keep all these things propped up here. With regard to CNN and this focus on the gay issue, and of course Jan Brewer's veto of that bill in Arizona is getting major coverage. But remember, every time there's an election year, they go out and try and get the American people all riled up about fringe issues: gay marriage, gay rights, abortion, feminism, all of these things that the American people will scream and yell about, but which do not challenge the power of those who are running the country, meaning the money junkies and the politicians. They don't want you thinking about the economy going into the election, don't want you thinking about all these wars going into the election, and so there's always going to be push to get everybody all riled up about gay marriage and all these other fringe issues, which don't really affect the nation as a whole. I understand if you are gay, these are important issues to you, and I understand that. But we're looking at these issues being promoted in the media, not to actually resolve the issues, because they never do. Every 4 years, we see the same thing happen again. Oh, gay marriage is an issue. Abortion is an issue. They've been pushing gay rights and abortion and gay marriage as divisive issues for the American people for 20 years now. And that's what they use it for. And so that's why this is getting all this stuff here, because the primaries are starting in a couple of weeks, and it's going to be all these fringe issues from now through November. James, I got to take a commercial break. Stay on the phone. I'm going to come back to you after these words from our sponsors.
World-renowned physician and stem cell expert Dr. David Steenblok, D.O., and his research staff have spent years developing all-natural formulations that support the body's own stem cell production and mobilization system. An everyday stem cell supplement, creating the birth of Stemgevity. Stemgevity stem cell mobilization formula is for use by men, women, and children of all ages to support your body's stem cell system naturally, quickly, and safely. Stemgevity helps support your heart and circulatory system, bones and joints, liver, skin, brain, and much more. Order your bottle now at Stemgevity.com today. That's Stemgevity, Stemgevity.com. Or call now toll-free, 800-300-1063. Buy two bottles and receive a third bottle free by mentioning RBN. Anyone who wants to get healthy needs Stemgevity. Call 800-300-1063 today.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network.
visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
What will you do without freedom? That's the question the American Freedom Party is asking as a high-tech surveillance state continues to be constructed in the one-time land of liberty. Through methodical gradualism over many years, the United States has been hollowed out economically and morally. The Republican Party is little more than a partner in crime to the open globalism and cultural Marxism of the Democrats. Both parties support the offshoring of American industry and jobs, open borders, endless wars of aggression all over the world, and slavish obedience to Israel and to the banksters and gangsters of Wall Street. The American Freedom Party is guided by the sole principle of supporting what's good for America and Americans. The American Freedom Party rejects the archaic liberal conservative paradigm in favor of an outspoken advocacy of freedom and liberty that rings true to America's traditional values and way of life. The hour is late, but America can yet survive and begin to thrive again if enough Americans act to regain their freedom. The alternative is too bleak to contemplate. Learn more about the American Freedom Party by going to AmericanFreedomPartyInfo.us. That's AmericanFreedomPartyInfo.us.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
The IRS is a private corporation, not a government agency. Income tax is collected by voluntary compliance. To learn to unvolunteer or discontinue volunteering into the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com and immediately implement Strategy 1. The process must be repeated each and every time. Paper, letter, envelope, presentment, etc. Always and forever. Failure equates to acceptance, subsequent resultant contract, and you pay or go to jail by your own consent and agreement contract. Avoid recontracting. Visit escapeharassment.com and implement Strategy 1 immediately. Bar lawyers and accountants won't help you. Why wait? Get Strategy 1 and immediately implement it to divorce the IRS today and forever. That's escapeharassment.com, Strategy 1, to be free from the IRS. EscapeHarassment.com.
We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're still talking with James in Washington. James, did you have another question?
Yeah. Hey, Mike. Yeah, thanks for holding me over. Say, before I move on to that cluster of birth defects in Washington, last little piece on Obama, as he was getting clapped and cheered for this new infrastructure thing he's talking about and Tiger grants and all this, he never mentioned where he was going to get the money. And unfortunately, we all know where that's going to come from. Moving on to that story from Washington, they had sent a CNN reporter to Washington, to eastern Washington, where they grow the corn and the sugar beets and so on and so forth, and they're having rash of 4 times birth defects in this county. And we know that Monsanto sprays in that county, but they refuse to say the word Monsanto. And at the end of the report, the reporter asked the lady that was holding this child that was deformed, and she said, have they come and talked to you? And she said, no. So when the reporter went back to the state of Washington's health, the head of the health department, and said, have you talked to these people? She said, well, no, we haven't. And I'm thinking, well, then how are we going to get to the bottom of this? Because Monsanto doesn't want them. Thanks, Mike.
Well, there are a number of factors that could explain this sudden surge of birth defects in Washington State. I know when the issue first came up, they were talking about radiation from Fukushima, but there's a much more highly concentrated source of radiation in the middle of Washington State at the Hanford nuclear waste disposal site, and it's basically acknowledged to be the dirtiest, most contaminated site in the United States, if not the entire world. And so I would want to be looking at that. Now, I am no fan of Monsanto. We know that their Roundup causes all kinds of adverse health effects. We know that their GMO corn, the studies that have been done in France and Russia reveal that that's very dangerous. But Monsanto is all across the United States with their chemicals and their seeds. And if we're dealing with this cluster of birth defects just in Washington State, then we need to look for something a little more localized, which is why my finger of suspicion falls on Hanford. But yeah, it's a horrible, horrible tragedy. But from what you're telling me, I mean, the idea that the state of Washington's health department hasn't even talked to these people who've had these deformed children to basically do a dietary analysis or an environmental analysis, basically that tells us they already know what's going on and they're just going to run around in circles, pretend to investigate, and come to a conclusion. Hey, we don't know. Just one of those things.
Exactly. And you know why I said that, Mike, was because at the end they interviewed a doctor from UCLA, and she said the last time she saw something like this was in Texas in the late 90s, and they found out when they talked to the women and surveyed them that they were eating a lot of corn.
Okay. Yeah,
that's
could, it could be. It could be, but again, there are a couple of different potential areas for this. Again, you know, I don't like Monsanto and I don't like their attitude with the GMO, but I wouldn't rule out Hanford as a possible situation. All right, James, we're going to let you go here. Thanks an awful lot. I want to get back to the situation in Ukraine, and then we'll move on to some of the stories here. Now, we know it's already come out that the U.S. government supported, funded, organized these so-called protests to overthrow the government of the Ukraine when it changed its mind about joining the European Union. And apparently more of this information is coming out regarding an organization called Canvas, which is this U.S.-financed Color Revolution Training Group is what it bills itself as. In other words, the U.S. is paying for this organization, which goes into these other countries and helps organize and finance these revolutions, which they're not. They're covert coup d'etats. And so the mechanism by which the U.S. started this situation in the Ukraine is becoming more and more visible. Now, as that other caller was talking about, Russia is starting to redeploy its naval presence around the world. The U.S. is all upset about the Viktor Leonov, which is one of Russia's latest generation spy ships, is now docked in Havana. Now, of course, Russia has a right to send that ship, and as long as the government of Cuba says, yeah, you can do a port visit here, they can go on in and do what they're going to do. Obviously, Russia wants to be looking at what the United States is going to be doing. I'm surprised the U.S. even knew it was there in Havana. Remember that big stink, I think it was about a year ago, when the U.S. finally realized there had been a Russian submarine running around the Gulf of Mexico for something like a month without being detected. Now, I know for the Tom Clancy fans out there, they probably dusted off their old copy of Red Storm Rising to try and bring themselves up to date on Russian weaponry and American weaponry. But you need to understand that since Tom Clancy wrote that book, Russia has made tremendous advances in their weapons systems. Their submarines are now just as quiet as the American submarines. They're very, very capable. They abandoned that horrible experiment with the liquid sodium reactors. They're bringing the new generation of submarines on. They've got, I think, they've gone beyond the Alphas to the Akulas, and now I think they've gone two more before in terms of the fast attacks. I don't know what they, I'm not up to date on their boomers. I know the Typhoons are aging and not doing very well, and whether they've replaced them with a new generation of ballistic missile submarine yet or not, I need to sort of hunt that down. But the reality is, Russia, if we go to war with Russia, and it goes nuclear, it almost doesn't matter who really gets to say they won after it's all over. We're all going to lose. We are all going to lose. Now, over in Iran, Secretary of State John Kerry is out there giving verbiage to continuing the negotiations in the P5 plus one. And say we have to go through that process before going to war. Now, Harry Reid in the Senate right now is blocking that new bill for sanctions on Iran. And he says it needs to be rewritten so that the sanctions are only applied after the current talks fail, which sounds very reasonable until you go back and look at what the U.S. and Israel are doing to try and guarantee these talks will fail. They're changing the initial requirements. The P5 plus one's initial deal was Iran would reduce the level of enrichment of their uranium, pull it back from the 20% for industrial application to the 5-7% for power generation, and in exchange, the U.S. would reduce the sanctions. Now, the U.S. is already in violation of that part of the deal. They took the existing sanctions and ramped them up. In terms of their intensity, and they're talking about new sanctions here. And, of course, more recently, the U.S. and Israel are in there screaming, well, we have to include Iran's ballistic missiles now in any deal, which was never part of the original issue. This was supposed to be about whether Iran's peaceful nuclear technology had the potential of being weaponized. And, again, remember, there is zero evidence that Iran is doing anything with their nuclear technology they are not allowed to do under the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. So we've got the U.S. and Israel are in there already throwing monkey wrenches into the deal, and Kerry and Reid are out there saying, well, we will let the talks go through until the point they fail, and then, of course, the war is on, the sanctions are on. And the idea is to try and pose and pretend to the world that the U.S. really wants a peaceful resolution, but it's very obvious at this point they don't, or they wouldn't be lying about Iran the way they lied about Saddam and his nuclear weapons, which turned out not to exist. Now, apparently the IAEA had a new report on Iran that was due out, and they have basically canceled its release. They basically, and the spin we're getting is, oh, this would have complicated things. It would have angered Iran. It would have proved that Iran was building nuclear weapons. I think exactly the opposite's going on. I think the IAEA went into Iran and did this huge, down to the bare walls, inspection, investigation, and once again, they found absolutely no hard evidence of weapons development. And they don't want to put that report out there because it would undermine the U.S. efforts to get a war going in Iran, which I expect is probably going to launch almost within minutes of any confrontation with Russia over the Ukraine. Because certainly if Russia is having to focus on the Ukraine militarily, that is going to impede their ability to offer support into Iran. I don't think it'll eliminate it, but it would complicate the problems. Now, Kerry, who is really not winning any fans around the world, is still down there in Israel trying to get some kind of a peace negotiation going, and he's towing the Israeli line, which means Palestine's never going to agree to his offer. When we come back from these commercials, I'll give you some of the details of what Kerry is saying is a fair deal for Palestine, and obviously why Palestine would not go for it. We'll be right back.
Nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead, pull the trigger.
This is Dr. Robert Rowan here to give you an important message regarding stem cell treatment. World-renowned physician, stem cell expert, and friend Dr. David Steinblatt has performed over 8,000 stem cell treatments since 2001. Bone marrow stem cells are completely legal to do here in the USA. The bone marrow stem cell treatment is not only fast, done in less than 2 to 3 hours, but is relatively pain-free and has little to no recovery time. Dr. David Steinblatt and his office are able to help and treat patients who suffer from cerebral palsy, traumatic brain injury, stroke, macular degeneration, arthritis, Parkinson's disease, congestive heart failure, and more. Personally using their services for my knee and seeing great improvement, Dr. David Steinblatt is highly recommended by me. Go to stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 to find out more. Again, stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 today to receive more information.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite is a 7-herb heart protection cocktail designed to support cardiovascular health, blood pressure, and cholesterol levels. February is Heart Month, and we at Heart Drop 2000 are having our Heart Month sale with prices from 6 years ago. Starting now until February 28th, you can purchase a 4-month supply of either capsules or liquid for only $125, including shipping and handling, to help you help yourself. So call now to take advantage of this one-time offer. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
How important is the air you breathe? Our air purifiers produce activated oxygen, called Aerin. Activated oxygen is the natural enemy of odors, pollutants, and many other harmful substances, yet it's completely safe. Our powerful air purifiers unleash the power of a thunderstorm, destroying pollutants in the air we breathe. It destroys many viruses, bacteria, and fungi, kills molds, and oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases. It removes smoke, pollen, and pet odors. Made with quality stainless steel, our portable air purifiers come with a manufacturer's 4-year warranty. If you haven't experienced the Aerin process of fresh, clean air, then call us today and receive 10% off your order. 877-605-9200. Again, that's 877-605-9200. Time for you to breathe clearly again. 877-605-9200.
A suppressed medical breakthrough guarantees anyone total health power with a simple device. That sounds impossible, doesn't it? In fact, it sounds like snake oil. How is it that something so simple could make such a profound change and isn't headline-making news? What if I told you it was? What if I told you in March of 1991 the news was groundbreaking? If you're like most people, you're wondering if this is true. We'll show you why your doctor hasn't told you about this. Go to drbeckprotocol.com or call 928-853-2821.
What really happened? Wouldn't you like to know? Tune in to Fighting Pharaoh, really at the radio. Tired of the mainstream media lies, listen to the Fighting really open your eyes. Tune in to Fighting Pharaoh, really at the radio.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And we're talking about how John Kerry is down in Israel and Palestine, still trying to pretend that the U.S. is an impartial umpire between the two interests. But apparently, the last offer John Kerry gave to the Palestinian Authority president was that Palestine would get one tiny little Jerusalem area for their national capital, and Israel would get to keep 10 of the already in existent illegal settlements in the West Bank. And of course, that is absolutely unacceptable to any Palestinian government, whether it's the PA or Hamas. And again, this is a tactic we have seen before. Go in there with an absolutely ridiculous offer, and when the other side says that's ridiculous, say, well, look, we tried. You know, we came out there with a really reasonable agreement, and the other side is refusing to deal with us. The war is on here. Now, one other thing that Kerry tried to do, was to get the Palestinians to agree to a delay of the deadline for the talks here. The deadline is currently set in April. Kerry's trying to get Palestine to say, well, Israel needs another 9 months. Of course, Palestine understands during those 9 months, Israel will grab more illegal settlements, grab more land, and try and write the outcome of any peace talks on the ground. And we've already seen, if you look at the maps of Israel versus Palestine going back over the last 60 years, it is clearly Israel that is trying to wipe Palestine off the map, and so fragmented that any kind of a contiguous body of land for a future Palestinian state is absolutely impossible. So, anyway. Now, interesting development over in Saudi Arabia. And I've noticed we're starting to see a little bit of Saudi bashing out there in the media. We have talked about this petrodollar deal. This was the deal the U.S. came up with after Richard Nixon ended gold convertibility, which seriously harmed the dollar's international desirability. And so one of the things the U.S. government did is they set up what was called the petrodollar. And this is where the U.S. went into all these oil-producing nations in the Mideast and said, we will militarily protect you as long as you sell your oil only for the U.S. dollar. And so the dollar was necessary to buy oil, and everybody had to get dollars, either borrow them at interest from the Federal Reserve or send real products, real goods to the U.S. to get these paper dollars with which to buy the oil from the Mideast nations. These Mideast oil nations would then take those U.S. dollars and send them back to the U.S. for treasury bonds or for American products. And that was the deal. And this meant the U.S. economy was getting an automatic, mafia-like piece of the action of all the oil trade on the planet that went through the Mideast. In other words, the U.S. economy was making money off of other people's oil. That was the petrodollar deal. Well, we've seen a lot of countries move away from that deal. In particular, Iraq did in 2002, which led to the invasion by the U.S. of 2003. Now Saudi Arabia, which is the largest oil exporter in the Middle East, has made a deal with China. They're going to build and share a gigantic new oil refinery where Saudi Arabia will provide the petroleum. It'll be refined, and the refined products go to China. And this deal is all being done between Saudi Arabia and China for their own currencies without going through the U.S. dollars. And so now Saudi Arabia is starting to evade the petrodollar deal. Will that put them on the list of nations to be invaded? Probably, if this thing moves forward. And of course, if the U.S. invades Saudi Arabia with this deal in place, that is now a threat to China's strategic interests and opens the door to another potential war. Now, over the commercial break, I did go out and do a little bit of research on Russia's latest nuclear submarines, and apparently they have started to field what's called the Bori-class submarine. This is the first submarine designed and built entirely after the collapse of the former Soviet Union. They're planning 10 of these. Three of them are now in service. It's kind of along the lines of the U.S. Ohio class. They got away from that huge, flat Typhoon class submarine. But the Typhoons are still in service, as are the Delta III and Delta IV. All of those are boomers, and now they're fielding the Borays, which are probably very equal in capability to the Ohio class, and going to have to just seriously keep an eye on these things. We do not want a nuclear war with Russia or China, because they really do have nuclear weapons. They really do have the means to deliver them. And the U.S. ballistic missile defense system is already obsolete, because we know that Russia's latest generation of MIRV'd warheads are maneuverable after they leave the targeting bus. And that makes a ballistic intercept impossible. We now know that China has developed a hypersonic top-of-the-atmosphere wave rider that is maneuverable, that it is usable as the upper stage on their nuclear weapons delivery rockets. And because that is maneuverable, makes a ballistic intercept impossible. I would speculate, and this is speculation, that Russia and China are focusing their effort on low-level cruise missile technology, because the U.S. ballistic missile defense is all based on this idea that the other guy is going to hurl these things way up into space and let them fall back down, which makes it easy to detect them and track them against the black of the sky. And it's a lot more difficult to find these things coming in very low to the surface. That's why the latest generation of sea skimmer missiles are so difficult to intercept. Like I said, the U.S. has been spending tons and tons of money on these bloated, junked-up weapons programs that are the way they are in order to maximize profits for the defense contractors. Other countries are spending a lot less money on the machinery of war than the United States, but they're spending it smartly, and they're spending it with an eye to getting the maximum, you'll pardon the expression, bang for their buck. All righty, we have a caller waiting on the line, Glenn in Philadelphia. Glenn, thank you for waiting. Aloha, what's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. Glad you had success in your hunt for Red October there.
You know, pardon me for pausing. Several years ago, when I was down in Australia working on a film project there, I got a chance to tour a Russian Foxtrot class submarine, and that was kind of an interesting experience. You know, because I am a big fan of Tom Clancy's early books. Anyway, please continue.
Oh yes, Iran should be made to prove the non-existence of secret underground weapon facilities that they've not as yet revealed. And after that, they should be made to prove the existence, prove the non-existence of the God particle, the Big Bang, and green chimpanzees on the far side of the moon.
Because well, I think I've already disproved the Big Bang myself, but that's a side issue. But you're absolutely right. The propaganda we're getting from the U.S. government, they're still out there trying to claim that this laptop of death, which has already been denounced as an obvious fraud by other governments around the world, they're trying out to say, we have this paper that says you have this, you must prove you don't. And obviously, for any student of logic, proving a negative is ultimately impossible. And it really is nonsense. The burden of proof should be, rightfully, should be on the U.S., which is threatening to punish Iran over this accusation that they have this or that weapon. The burden of proof should be on the U.S. They can't prove it, so they're trying to put the burden of proof on Iran and say, I think you're going to do this, prove me wrong. I could sit here and say that you, Glenn in Philadelphia, are planning to come out here to Hawaii and abuse my wife. Prove that you're not going to do it. And if you can't, then I have a right to come on over and shoot you. That's basically the U.S. approach to Iran right now.
Yeah, boy, I'm glad I'm really not in Philadelphia. But anyway, the other thing I wanted to bring up about the Ukraine, I'm finally seeing there's some very good video stuff on BBC website today that's nailing the topic a little better in terms of the distinction between the Crimean Peninsula, and the culture and the language and stuff like that. But this whole thing is very strange, and I couldn't figure out why, like, if Putin doesn't do something militarily now in the face of this, then he never will. You know, like, if this isn't sufficient cause for them to do something, then nothing ever will be, it seems, because maybe they're waiting for an engraved invitation from the people who Crimea to just sort of roll up in there and say, okay, we're cutting off the peninsula where it joins the mainland, and that's going to be what goes on. But they have the friendship pipeline on the mainland, and I think maybe they're being held hostage over access to the friendship pipeline.
I don't think that's what's going on here, and when we come back from the top of the hour feeds, I'll respond to your observations. We'll be right back.